This is Cincinnati Edition. I'm Mark Purcell. Glad to have you along this morning. Amazing wildlife and an old-growth bald cypress forest are just a couple of highlights of the Audubon Corkscrew Swamp Sanctuary in Florida. Jason Lauritsen, Sanctuary Director, talks to Thane Maynard this morning.
Thanks for spending a few minutes. Man, I love your Corkscrew Swamp.
Oh, absolutely happy to be here.
You know, I grew up in Florida, and I had been there years ago, but as Southwest Florida gets more and more built up, more and more traffic. Last month, when my wife and I drove out, as it got more and more rural, and then we pulled into your Audubon Sanctuary, I am telling you, that was the most pleasant day of our entire week of Florida.
Well, that's why we're here. We're giving you and wildlife a sanctuary, so we're glad you took advantage.
You know, the size of those trees, you know, you hear about big cypress swamp, which is vital, too. It's tremendous. It's the Western Everglades. But I'm telling you, anyone listening, if you want to see big cypress trees, you need to go to Corkscrew Swamp near Naples. It's an Audubon Society sanctuary. Tell us a little bit of the history, Jason. How long has it been there?
Well, you know, we've been a sanctuary, an Audubon sanctuary, since 1954. But, of course, Corkscrew has been around a lot longer than that. Mm-hmm. Corkscrew Swamp's old-growth bald cypress trees are over 500 years old. So that's quite a stamp on the area. But actually, if you take a look at the peat, we've done peat profiles. This has been a cypress forest for 5,000 years. Mm. So Corkscrew has been around a long time. When you're out there on the boardwalk, it's stepping back in time.
Now, as an official preserve, a sanctuary with the Audubon Society, it may only be 60 years, but my memory is that the human legacy goes further back than that. Obviously, early on, with Native Americans, but even beyond that, when earlier than the 50s, when bird poaching and feather poaching was going on, I think the sanctuary played a role in that cause.
Our first employee here, Audubon's first employee on the property, was in 1912, we hired a warden, an Audubon warden by the name of Rhett Green, and his job was to sling a rifle over his shoulder and come out here when the birds started to nest and protect our nesting rookery. And he did that from November into June in 1912, up until the plume hunting pressure dropped off, and he would take people out and tour them through our sanctuary back then, and that's really where the renown of Corkscrew grew from Rhett Green's visits out there. Now, we didn't have a boardwalk in 1912, 13, and so on. They were wading through the swamp up to their chest and taking a look at our spectacular wildlife.
And they had a chance to be closer than I was to things like water moccasins, for instance.
That's right. You know, in 1913, Rhett Green took T. Gilbert Pearson out there, who actually was pretty instrumental in Audubon in its early days. And T. Gilbert Pearson was a renowned ornithologist, and he describes in a book he wrote in 1917 his adventure at Corkscrew. And he identified what he estimates to be 100,000 wood storks at Corkscrew at that time.
That's amazing. Well, last month I was lucky to see wood stork there, and even the elusive ghost orchid. I almost fainted when I saw, thank goodness your two signs are what pointed them out, because they're not flowering. But that's something I never thought I'd see, an endangered orchid that is really challenging to find in Florida today.
Yes, absolutely. And we have the largest bloom history that's ever been recorded as well. We've had 13 blooms flower on that ghost orchid. It's absolutely unprecedented. It's an impressive specimen. And we're lucky enough that it's high enough in an old-growth bald cypress tree that we can actually point it out. Other orchids, when they grow too close to the ground, people are worried about poaching. So it's nice to have that one on site.
You know, the sanctuary itself is bigger than the boardwalk implies, though it's an extensive boardwalk and you walk for miles, and it's a great way to spend, say, half a day just on a walk and looking at nature. But in total, how big is Corkscrew Swamp Sanctuary?
The entire sanctuary is 13,000 acres, and when you walk around our boardwalk, it's 2.25 miles, which you're right, it's big. In fact, it's, according to Guinness, the fourth largest boardwalk in the world. But you're only really looking at about 800 acres. So we have a lot more habitat out there.
And, of course, that's what's great about it. But I'll tell you what, on a winter's day, we saw a tremendous amount of diversity. Of course, things you would expect and any tourist would want to see, such as a great big alligator at your Lettuce Lake and, of course, the wood storks. but a wide variety of things. And, of course, a barred owl right in the middle of the day was posing, and a lot of photographers were taking pictures, which was another thing that I really found charming. Even though it was a fair crowd that day, and it was lovely weather, it was midwinter, lots of northerners come down, and many of them are naturalists and birders and want to see it. But everybody was so polite, pointing one to another of things, you know, whispering, but gosh, if you want to see, here's something you might not see if you just walk by. And of course, you had a lot of volunteers too. So extremely pleasant. Tell us a bit about how you guys pay your bills.
Well, you know, we're a private, not-for-profit organization here. And some of our expenses are paid for through admissions, just the gate prices there. And that's very helpful. So we appreciate every guest, not just for the revenue, but also that's our conservation mission to spread the word. And, you know, we also take donations. So we wouldn't turn anybody's gift away, that's for sure.
And, of course, I got to see that great, I think it's a temporary display in your little museum there, but on the folks that have really helped protect the Everglades, and, of course, the Everglades ecosystem going all the way to Corkscrew. But review a few of those folks and some of the people who have played a big role, because some of them are famous from the old days, if you will, like Marjorie Stoneman Douglas. But there's people even alive today, like Nat Reed, who've played a role in helping protect that area.
That's right. This project you're referring to is known as the Guardians of the Everglades. And my mentor and former boss, Ed Carlson, was the first guardian that was identified for this project. And Ed Carlson, he's been an Audubon warden for a long time. He spent 44 years associated with the sanctuary, and he's now a director emeritus. And Ed Carlson really did a tremendous amount to protect land, not only within Corkscrew and keep it pristine, but also in securing land around Corkscrew. Mm-hmm. And he was very instrumental in that. You have a variety of guardians that were chosen, Nat Reed being one of those. He's a tremendous statesman. He's been working in a variety of different administrations on conservation efforts and Everglades restoration. And then Deb Jansen, who is a National Park Service employee who works on the Panther team. She goes out and helps to locate and collar and track our endangered Florida panther, the most endangered mammal in North America. And then you have Clyde Butcher, who is actually thought of as the Ansel Adams of South Florida. He does tremendous black and white photography, and he's been spreading the word of Everglades conservation and our Big Cypress system through art. So it really is a neat program, that Guardians, where the portraits of these individual guardians have been painted in near life size. And that exhibit right now is at Corkscrew, and it's going to be on display for a period longer, and then it will be traveling for a period as well.
And a thing I should point out to anyone who's listening in this region who might head down to Southwest Florida, Corkscrew Swamp Sanctuary is extremely accessible. You do not need to think this is like going in an airboat or a canoe to the central Everglades. I mean, you can drive out there in a half an hour, park in a perfectly lovely little shaded area, head in on a boardwalk, and honestly have as pleasant a day in nature as I recall. So that's one thing that's important. But the challenging part, of course, as you mentioned when you were talking about some of the guardians, is that there are lots of threats facing Southwest Florida and obviously the Everglades, and hopefully not the sanctuary itself, but the region. What are the responses? Do you think there's hope?
Yeah, there's absolutely hope. We happen to be in a period of... This is the sixth year out of the past seven where wood storks did not nest at Corkscrew. Hmm. And that, you know, that could be that can be a depressing reality here that's reflected in the fact that we've lost habitat around the sanctuary. But what we've done is we've taken a look through research and science at what the landscape looks like, what opportunities there are for restoration, and what the wood storks really need. And we've identified what those problems are. And what really we need to do is preserve our shallow wetlands and get restoration in that shallow wetland habitat, because that's what the wood storks feed on early in their nesting season. So really, that's one of our big pushes and interests, is to restore and protect shallow wetland habitat, and we're doing it. We're in the process of getting some restoration done just to the north of us, which wood storks nesting at Corkscrew would feed in. And I'm very optimistic that the wood storks are going to be back at Corkscrew when we get a nice, normal rainy season here. We're actually in one of the driest years on record, which is contributing to the lack of nesting.
Thanks for what you're doing. Thank your whole team. And next time I get down there, I'll look you up.
Thank you.
My guest has been Jason Lauritsen, Sanctuary Director of the Corkscrew Swamp Sanctuary. For Cincinnati Edition, I'm Thane Maynard.